you're just in time for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, the radio outreach of the Christian Research Institute. Our purpose here at CRI is to equip Christians to provide biblical answers to life's most important questions, to read the Bible for all it's worth, and counter the teachings of cults and world religions that deviate from the plumb line of God's Word, because life and truth matter. This is a live program, and we invite your calls. So dial toll-free 888-ASK-HANK. Numerically, that's 888-275-4265. Now here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we will be calling live to your calls in just a few moments. As always, the number to dial, as just mentioned, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. If you haven't done so already, you may want to take an opportunity to write down our contact information on the web. It is equip.org. Via the mail, it's box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And our wonderful resource consultants is always standing by, 888-7000 and the letter CRI. Again, I'll be going to your calls in just a few moments, 888-ASK-HANK. But I wanted to talk about the silent Holocaust in our midst for just a moment or so. I think back to a couple of years ago, 2015, where undercover videos apparently demonstrate beyond the peradventure of a doubt that Planned Parenthood engaged in the gruesome process of harvesting aborted preborn baby parts and then selling them to, well, experimentation laboratories as a lucrative money-making endeavor. So, you would immediately think that Planned Parenthood would be in deep, deep trouble as a result of the exposé. But instead, think about the present. The undercover investigators now, I just read about this today, they're the ones being charged. And Planned Parenthood looks to be largely exonerated. This has been aptly likened to an investigative journalist posing as a drug dealer to expose, well, some notorious drug lords. But as a result, the journalist is indicted and the drug lord is being subsidized. I think it's fair to say that 60 Minutes and many other mainstream journalistic outlets have long specialized in undercover investigations, and they are roundly praised for their exposés. But not in this case. National Review's David French was right when he said, "It's becoming increasingly clear that in states such as California, the right to abort a child is the chief liberty in the land, and all other liberties must bow before this liberty." I've written about this in a number of different resources, including the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated. It is available through the ministry, the Christian Research Institute, for those who support the ministry. And for those who join CRI's monthly support team, be pleased to personalize a copy to you, a family member, or a friend. Just as I walked into the studio, I personalized one to Carlos. He's giving $50 a month. He lives in Illinois. Another to Jeff in Texas. He's giving $100 a month. But others give $35 a month. Whatever the amount, of course, is between you and the Holy Spirit. We're just asking people to stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. Well, a lot of you hanging on. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. Let's go to the phone lines, talk to Katie in Kansas City, Missouri, listening on Bot Radio. Hi, Katie.
Hello, Hank. Thank you for taking my call. First of all, I wanted to thank you for yesterday's opening statement. Shout out to you and your whole team. Oh. I really love that.
Thank you.
My question is more of a statement I would like you to speak on. I know several Christians who have been Christians, you know, longer than I've been alive. I'm 25, and they've been in the church for decades. And they read all of these extra-biblical books like commentaries and devotionals, but they haven't even read the Bible. you know, I bring up certain books of the Bible and they've never even read them. Could you speak on that?
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. It's incredibly significant to point out, as you just did, that there's a level of biblical illiteracy in the land because people are reading about the Bible, but not reading the Bible itself. And at the face of it, you think about the reality that this is the most read book in the history of the entire world. It's been translated into more languages, published in more volumes than any other book in history. And yet today, people don't get into the Word of God. And even worse, I think, Katie, they don't get the Word of God into them. And I think there are so many wonderful ways in which you can do that today. For example, whenever I'm in my car, I'm inevitably listening to the Bible on CD. And the Bible on CD is in audio theater. So it is theater for the mind. It is absolutely exhilarating. And I've been teaching the Bible and talking about the Bible, answering questions about the Bible for over 30 years, long over for 30 years, actually. And yet I'm constantly learning something new. So the point that you underscore is doubly troubling in the fact that we live in an epoch of time in which we have Bibles available not only in written formats, but many other formats as well.
Yeah, thank you, because it's really disturbing, because I'll bring something up and I'm talking to people who are over double my age and have been in the church, like I said, longer than I've even been alive, and they don't even know what I'm talking about, you know, and to me it would be common knowledge because it's in the Bible so many times. It's just frustrating.
Well, it is frustrating. Well, you know, what we're trying to do at the Christian Research Institute is give people lots of options in terms of how they engage with the Bible. One of them, by the way, we were promoting a month or so ago, called The Word of God. And this is a production by Carl Amari, a friend of mine. He's a movie producer who is using the best talent available to present you audio theater of the mind, and it's fun to listen to, because as Paul is writing his epistles, you can almost see him at work. You hear him cough in the background, you hear the quill contact the parchment, and as you listen, you're engaged in it. And I love the spoken word so much. Oftentimes when I preach in churches around the country, I start out by quoting a chapter from the Bible, and I do it in sort of a way that people don't even know that I'm quoting the Bible. And people are so impressed by the words as they hear them, not just see them on the page, but hear them spoken out. So again, all of that underscores the reality that we live in a wonderful time in which the Bible is available in masses, but the masses are excusing themselves from the most precious thing of all, and that is the Word of God.
Yes, well, thank you again, and thank you for all your team and everything that you do. You have a great day.
Thanks, Katie. Go back to the phone lines now. Talk to George in St. Louis, Missouri. Hi, George.
Hi, Hank. I have kind of a long question for you regarding the nature of man.
Mm-hmm.
From what I've been reading, it seems like there's two views, one that says that the soul and the spirit are the same thing, and it's true that they're often used interchangeably in Scripture, and then view two says that the soul and spirit are two separate things, and only a couple of verses in Scripture seem to speak of it in this way. And then, to push it a little further, I've heard Bible teachers say that the soul is the seat of the emotions, the senses, and the personality, whereas the spirit is only part, the only part that connects with God. And that would seem to mean to me that the unregenerate people would have a soul that's alive, but their spirit only is dead to God, which would seem to support the second position, that the soul and the spirit are two separate things. And then to compound the problem even more, I've heard some say that the mind is a separate thing from the body, soul, or spirit. So that's a lot to throw at you, I know, but I'd like to hear what you've got to say about that.
Yeah, well, good question, and it underscores one of the core values of the Christian Research Institute, which is that what we teach here ultimately reduces to what C.S. Lewis called mere Christianity. Another way of putting that is an essentials unity, non-essentials liberty, and in all things charity. So when you look at a situation like the one you just described, you have people who are what are called dichotomists, who believe that we're body-soul unities, and that when the body dies, the soul is in the presence of the Lord. And then there are trichotomists that, as you have rightly articulated in the prologue to your question, that there are two essential components of the non-material aspect of humanity. And what I like to say is that this is a debate that we can have vigorously on the basis of the biblical text. And I love the way you couched the question. You made clear that there seems to be more support for one position than for the other position. However, again, I say this is a secondary issue because ultimately we have, in a sense, a part of us that relates to God. We're created in the image and likeness of God, the Imago Dei, and so there is a part of the immaterial aspect of humanity that relates to God, that enjoys fellowship in the Trinity. There's also a part of humanity that relates to that which God has created. So I oftentimes come down on this saying that I live here in the world of antinomy. I'm not absolutely sure of what the right position is. I have brilliant friends on one side of the issue and brilliant friends on the other side of the issue. I personally have taught and held the dichotomist position. I originally held this because I saw so much abuse within the charismatic and Pentecostal circles with the trichotomist idea. The way in which they use this is that there is information that can bypass the mind and go directly into the spirit man. And therefore, they didn't have to understand what they were saying, and what they were saying didn't even have to be correct because it is understood by the spirit man. And so there are all kinds of abuses as a result of that, and I think that probably early on colored my thinking in this regard. But in later years, I've run into people who are trichotomists who genuinely experience or communicate the trichotomist view in a way that I would say is very God-honoring. So I'm sorry I'm obfuscating a little bit here, but it is because I'm not absolutely certain where to come down on this at this point.
Could you elaborate just a little bit more on the trichotomy position?
Yeah. So, if you go to passages like Hebrews chapter 4, I think it is, there's a distinction between the soul and spirit in that the distinction is between that which relates to creation, that being the soul, and that which relates to the creator, being the spirit. And thus, the soul and spirit are said to be two separate parts of the immaterial aspect of humanity. Now, what I have typically said is that the soul and the spirit are two functions within the immaterial aspect of humanity as opposed to two separate components of man's being. And likewise, in, I think it's Mark 12, we are told to love God with our heart, mind, and strength. And this is not three separate components of man's being, but rather three distinguishable aspects of human nature. Again, I'm simply pointing out how I have reasoned this in the past, and I'm not absolutely certain I'm correct in this position.
Okay, well, thank you very much. That helps.
You got it. Thank you very much for your call. I don't have time to go to another call right now, but we will be going back to your calls on the other side of the break. So again, you can call 888-ASK-HANK. But I want to mention my daily e-truth is just one of the ways in which we answer questions for people. The daily email answers your questions in clear, concise prose. And these are answers to some of the most common and complex questions that I've been asked. If you want to subscribe, and I think you do, all you have to do is go to equip.org and sign up right there on the homepage. Again, equip.org. Also, the Equip app. I should be talking about this every single day. It is just one of the most unbelievable resource. I have people coming up to me all the time. Say, I listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast on my smartphone. And I love the fact that it is very maneuverable. I can listen to archived broadcasts, and I can read all kinds of well-researched articles. Oftentimes, those articles come directly from the Christian Research Journal and other publications, including our newsletter. You can also give in a safe, secure fashion on the Equip app. So if you want your Equip app on your smartphone, all you have to do is go to equip.org/app. It's absolutely free. Download CRI's Equip app. While you're on the website, I just mentioned the CRI Journal. It is our subscription magazine. If you haven't taken a look at it, do take an opportunity to look at it. It's an award-winning magazine that I think that no Christian home should be without. The newsletter, of course, is free of charge, and you can subscribe online at equip.org for the newsletter as well. We're right back with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
The resurrection of Jesus Christ is without question the most important event in human history. To strengthen your faith and equip you to provide credible answers to family and friends concerning the central event of Christianity, the Christian Research Institute is offering The Week That Changed the World on DVD, featuring historian Paul Meyer. Receive The Week That Changed the World as our thanks for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Stay with us. Hank Hanegraaff will return right after the break. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. Why did the authorities need Judas to identify Jesus? How could the people who cheered Jesus on Palm Sunday call for his death just a few days later? Why was Pontius Pilate trying hard to avoid sending Jesus to his death? Is there evidence outside the Bible that these events actually happened? In the documentary film on DVD, The Week That Changed the World, Professor of Ancient History Paul Meyer offers compelling answers to questions concerning the events of Holy Week that culminated in Christ's death and resurrection. Dr. Meyer lays out the hard, verifiable facts of history and archaeology. Receive your copy of The Week That Changed the World on DVD as our thanks for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. Equip.org. When you need answers about the Bible and the intersection of our faith and culture, you turn to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and the Christian Research Institute. But did you know we're entirely supported by God's provision through friends like you? In appreciation for your gift of ministry support today, we'll send you Hank's book, The Third Day, a convincing case study on the most important truth of Christianity, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Johnny Erickson Tada has said, Hank leaves no stone unturned, thoroughly portraying the resurrection as our grand hope, the glorious springboard from which we all dive into eternity. Strengthen your defense of the resurrection and increase your confidence in your own eternal future. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now.
There is one very big problem for agnostics and atheists who dismiss the resurrection of Jesus as sheer scientific impossibility and mythological nonsense. The resurrection actually happened. Professor Paul Meyer's DVD, The Week That Changed the World, gives you the hard, verifiable evidence of history and archaeology on the resurrection. Receive The Week That Changed the World on DVD as our thanks for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. And here again is Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And tomorrow, the last day in which we're featuring The Week That Changed the World as our special offer to those who support the ministry. Again, you can do that in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. And as I said over and over again, I've tried to rivet this in your mind when we talk about this DVD and its title. Remember the definite article, The Week That Changed the World. This is not a week, it is the week, it is the week of all weeks. Think about all of human history, this is the most significant week. The video is absolutely stunning and, again, available for those who support the ministry. You can write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Or you can talk to one of our resource consultants, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. Back to the phone lines, we'll talk to Chris in Red Deer, Alberta, Canada, CHRB. That's one of the most beautiful places in the world.
Well, Hank, I'm just thinking, you know, I've talked to you so much the last year and a half. I think I'm just going to say I'm Chris from Canada from now on.
So,
we've talked a number of times, so I'm just going to say hi to my family who are listening, because they always say, oh, we heard you on Hank. So. Anyway, this prologue has to do with my question, Hank. I was raised in a Christian church, and so the thing was growing up was trying to read my Bible through in a year, right? So we'd do that every year. We'd read our Bible through, and it got to the point where I really wasn't paying attention. I just wanted to get it done. And 2003, I thought, you know what? If I can eat every day physically, I can eat spiritually. And every day since 2003, and I'm not saying this to brag, honestly, Hank, the Lord has allowed me, but for maybe five times, to read His Word daily. And I make time for it. I like to read my scripture in the Bible at night and a devotion in the morning. And I just want to encourage all the others who are listening who don't make time to do that. You can eat physically, you can eat spiritually, and God will just bless your heart. And as I've been reading the scriptures over these years, I see different things that I hadn't seen before. And so I just take maybe a couple verses at a time or a chapter or two at a time. I just do it daily, how my heart is feeling and how the Spirit is leading me. And I'm in Second Chronicles right now, and as an animal lover, and wow, I was just blown away. Just when Solomon dedicated the temple, he sacrificed over 100,000 animals. And I'm just wondering, why so many animals? Why couldn't it just have been like a one time for all sacrifice? And I'm just thinking the cleanliness of the temple and how did they keep it clean? Like, it just sounded like a slaughterhouse.
Well, and it really was. I mean, you think about this is a non-normative event in that this is the construction of the most glorious temple imaginable. And the children of Israel had been with the Ark of the Covenant in the desert, and now they are building a temple. Finally, they have the resources. David was allowed to generate those resources. The people gave willingly, and they establish one of the wonders of the world. And this wonder of the world is going to be a permanent, at least designed to be, a permanent edifice in which you have temple, priest, and sacrifice. And all of that looking forward to something very significant, an ultimate sacrificial lamb. So God always uses earthly perceptible realities to point to spiritual verities. And that's what you have in this temple. You see the graphicness of death, even though it's animal death. and animals do not suffer in the same way that human beings suffer, but you still see the gravity of death. It's an object lesson, and it points forward to a lamb that will come who will suffer more than the cumulative sufferings of all of humanity so that we can be reconciled to God. So in this particular occasion, you have the dedication of the temple, and there are huge numbers of people that are participating in the dedication. And it's carried on for a long period of time, 2 weeks, 14 days. So again, a non-normative event, but it is a graphic way of pointing forward to the solution to the problem of fallen people in a fallen world. Now, you mentioned that you're an animal lover. What's glorious about Scripture is that paradise lost will become paradise restored. Because what the temple priest and sacrifice points to is one who will stand upon the fulcrum of history. And that standing on the fulcrum of history will be on a cross. His feet will be nailed, perched up by some wood. And he'll have one arm that stretches forward towards the Edenic Garden where the fall occurred. But the other arm stretches towards the eternal garden. Maybe you can picture that, Christ with his outstretched arms. And we read in Revelation chapter 22 that in that eternal garden there'll be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. We see John having a vision of an angel showing him the river of the water of life as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stands the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree, they're for the healing of the nation. So the tree of life that was lost is now regained. And we are now in the best of all possible worlds. So yes, in this world, because of Adam and Eve, their sin, we have a corrupt universe, but it's going to be restored. And so you have this epic moment in history, which is going to look forward to a Christ that will not be luminous limestone and glistening gold, but rather will be God in human flesh doing what we could not do so that we can be reconciled to him for all eternity.
Amen. Hank, did the people that did that was part of that sacrifice system, did they know that? Were they doing that knowing that there was going to be another sacrifice?
Absolutely. I mean, that's the whole point of the, you know, the type always points forward to an antitype. And so the Old Testament saints, they looked forward through a glass, as it were, darkly, or they saw. Perhaps you walk into a room. Sometimes I did that last night. I got up in the middle of the night and I was reading a book. I couldn't sleep, and so I picked up a book. Well, I kind of stumbled out of the bedroom, and I was walking into a room I was familiar with. I could kind of make out the silhouette of the couches, but it was dark. So I was seeing those couches in sort of a darkened format. Well, I flipped on the light, and all of a sudden I saw their brilliant colors, and I could read. And that's kind of what happens when we go from the Old Testament to the actual event. They looked forward through types and shadows. They did not see with the clarity that we have in we're after the event, and we can look back at the event. We have absolutely 20/20 vision on what happened, but they did not have that, and that's why the graphicness of the type was so important.
Yeah, thank you, Hank. I appreciate your time.
You got
Happy
it.
Spring.
Hey,
okay.
Chris, thanks for calling. Let's go back to the phone lines. Talk to Rod. He's listening in Albany, Georgia, on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Rod.
Hey, how you doing, Dr. Hanneman?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Yeah, God bless your memory, sir. Your ministry is just outstanding. I listen to you as much as I can. But I have a question, sir. I was reading in Genesis 2, and also in Genesis 1, where it was saying that God formed man as well as, it appears, as well as the animals out of the earth. Is that a fair understanding?
Yeah, I think it's a fair understanding. We don't have specifically information about the animals, but we do know that God created the world ex nihilo, out of nothing. But once the world is created, he takes dust, as it were, and creates humanity. And we can project from that that he does a similar thing with the animals as well.
Okay. So one more question. I'm sorry,
sure.
Sir.
That's
so
right.
Is it safe to say that we as well, like man as well as the animal, created from a similar substance, whereas a woman was created from the rib?
Yes, I do think that we can say that, but we have to be very, very careful with Genesis, because Genesis is a historical narrative. It's interlaced with Jewish poetic structure. It also has metaphor. You know, for example, you'll read about the earth opening up its mouth, or you'll read about God walking in the cool of the day, as though God has feet. So we don't want to take the text in a wooden literalistic sense, but rather in the sense in which it's intended. My favorite illustration in this regard is, if it's raining really hard outside, I might say to you, it's raining cats and dogs. Well, you don't say to me, well, Hank, what color are the cats and how big are the dogs? You understand the metaphor means that it's raining really hard. And in the same way, we have to read the text in the sense in which it's intended. There is ample warrant for understanding things in a metaphorical sense, but also understanding those things which God has given us in the text to be understood in its plain sense.
Amen. Well, thank you very much, Dr. Hanegraaff.
Hey, you got it. Thank you so much for your call. People thank me all the time for what I do on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. I get these incredible testimonies and letters, and I deeply appreciate each one of them. But as I pointed out in the earlier segment of this broadcast, I simply cannot do what I do. The Ministry of the Christian Research Institute cannot do what the ministry does without people like you standing shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. And people have been doing that now for some 30 years, and God has always been faithful to supply the needs of the ministry through his people. But God uses means, and therefore I am being the voice to letting you know that when you stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth, you're making a difference all around the world. So let me encourage you to do that. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. You can also give via the mail at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Or you can talk to our resource consultants. As always, they're standing by, 888-7000 and the letter CRI. So often on the broadcast, I mention resources as well. The Week That Changed the World, one of the resources I mentioned at the top of this segment. If you don't have it, it is available for those who support the ministry. Also, my book, The Third Day. The reality of the resurrection is what I encapsulate in memorable format in The Third Day. I use the acronym FEAT because this is the greatest feat in the annals of recorded history. It stands for Fatal Torment, Empty Tomb, Appearances of Christ, and Transformation, which is to say that those who saw the resurrection, those who witnessed the resurrection in the post-resurrection appearances of Christ, were radically transformed. Once scared and scattered, they became lions of the faith. They changed the world, and this is the precise thing that we are called to do as well. Not by might nor by power, but by His Spirit. We'll be right back with a quote of the day and more answers.
With an unmatched mastery of Scripture and history, Professor Paul Meyer discusses and defends the historicity of the events of Holy Week, which culminated in the death and resurrection of Jesus. Receive The Week That Changed the World on DVD as our thanks for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Don't tune out. Hank Hanegraaff will be back in a moment.
When you need answers about the Bible and the intersection of our faith and culture, you turn to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and the Christian Research Institute. But did you know we're entirely supported by God's provision through friends like you? In appreciation for your gift of ministry support today, we'll send you Hank's book, The Third Day, a convincing case study on the most important truth of Christianity, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Johnny Erickson Tada has said, Hank leaves no stone unturned, thoroughly portraying the resurrection as our grand hope, the glorious springboard from which we all dive into eternity. Strengthen your defense of the resurrection and increase your confidence in your own eternal future. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now.
The resurrection is without question the most important event in human history. Why? The resurrection astonishingly did more than miraculously reverse the order of sin and death that plagues humanity. It inaugurated a whole new order of being for us and for the universe. Unfortunately, far too many people, believers and unbelievers alike, fail to grasp the enormous implications of this event. To strengthen your faith and equip you to provide credible answers to questions concerning the death and resurrection of Christ, the Christian Research Institute is offering the documentary film on DVD, The Week That Changed the World, featuring historian Paul Meyer. Receive The Week That Changed the World on DVD as our thanks for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org.
Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. Did you know that without the bodily resurrection of Jesus, there is no Christianity and no hope? As the Apostle Paul wrote, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless, and you are still in your sins. But history and archaeology attest to the fact that Jesus did rise from the dead. Don't miss historian Paul Meyer's documentary, The Week That Changed the World. This DVD will give you hard, verifiable facts of history and archaeology on the resurrection. Receive The Week That Changed the World on DVD as our thanks for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Once again, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we'll go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Tasha. She's listening in Arkansas on Butt Radio. Hi, Tasha.
Hello, Hank. Thank you for taking my call.
It is a pleasure.
I have a question today, and it's about a Bible passage that we're reading in my small group at work. We've kind of gotten together as a group and formed a Bible study before work in the morning, and we've decided to read Luke chapters 22 through 24 leading up to the Holy Week.
Mm.
And there was something that I saw in there today that really just struck me that I guess I really hadn't considered before. And what it was is when I looked through Luke 22, 36 through 38, it's talking about the sword, and I'm just feel like I'm confused by that, where he's telling them, if you have a purse, take it, and also a bag. If you don't have a sword, sell your cloak and buy one. And then the disciples bring the two swords to him, and he tells them that's enough. And then as you go on, you're over in 22:49-51, where they're in the Garden of Gethsemane. And there's a famous scene where the disciple chops off the ear of one of the priests that had come to arrest Christ. And Jesus tells him no more of this, and he takes his ear and heals it. And so on the surface of that, that seems to contradict itself to me, but I feel like I'm definitely missing something here. So I was hoping you might be able to unpack it a little better.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. You're talking about the Luke passage and then the Matthew 26, I think it is, passage. I'm actually turning to them as we speak. In the Luke passage, Jesus says to the disciples, "But now if you have a purse, take it, and also a bag. And if you don't have a sword, sell your cloak and buy one. It is written, he was numbered with the transgressors. And I tell you that this must be fulfilled in me. Yes, what is written about me is reaching its fulfillment." And then just as you said, the disciples said to Jesus, "See, Lord, here are two swords." And Jesus says, "That's enough." And what you have here is a context of self-defense. There's a harsh world out there, and the sword, nonetheless, should not be used to usher in the kingdom of God by force. You know, if that were the case, God could summon all kinds of angels, and that's essentially what Jesus is talking about in Matthew 26 when he tells Peter, "Put your sword back in its place, for all who draw the sword will die by the sword. Do you think I can't call on my Father? And he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? But how then would the scriptures be fulfilled that say it must happen in this way?" So what Jesus here does is presents the maxim that those who live by the sword often are going to die by the same means. And while the Bible permits the use of the sword for civil purposes, it does not prescribe the sword for spiritual advancement purposes. I was actually reading about this in some of the old commentaries going back to the early church fathers, where we see that the sword actually, in context, wasn't even to be understood literally, but it refers to the living Word of God in the battle that is against the sinful nature. In fact, Saint Ambrose adds that giving up a garment or buying a sword actually refers to surrendering the body to the sword of martyrdom, being willing to die for your faith. But because the disciples were thinking of swords literally, Jesus ends the discussion by saying, "It is enough." And some have translated that to mean in the original Greek, "Enough of this already." So yeah, again, the idea is that the kingdom does not advance by force. And that's precisely why Jesus stops Peter when Peter is trying to protect him.
I tried to find the answer on another Bible resource, and it actually spoke to the fact that, well, you know, Jesus wasn't going to be with them anymore, and it was possible that, you know, he was saying that they would maybe need more defense, and that just rang completely untrue to me. So thank you for making that clear.
You're welcome, Tasha. Thank you so much for your call. Let's go right back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Kaber, listening in Wisconsin on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Kaber.
Hey, Hank. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Hey, I have a question. I've been, you kind of was talking to somebody about the image of God. He created him in Genesis 2, another caller, but I have a question on 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 7, where Paul, I used to think that, you know, men and women were creating the image of God until I came across 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 7, where it says that the men should not cover their head because of they're creating the image and glory of God, but women are created in the glory of man. And that's the one question I noticed when I've looked up in the internet, I've looked up the Greek, you know, I've done the Hebrew, and I've come to the, I haven't come to a conclusion because I still have questions, but about the whole, and I noticed a lot of people don't touch the subject. Even this group called the Head Covering Movement, they didn't even touch it. And so I guess I'm just trying to get clarity. How do we come to the conclusion that women are creating the image of God. And Paul, who's a Pharisee, the Pharisees clearly would have known the Hebrew, the Torah, would have said what he said. And then the second question is real short is, in our country, even in our country, and we still practice it from the man's perspective where you remove your hat when you go to church. I know, if you have your hat on, the man removes it. But women used to wear a covering, like a hat. And that's what I remember growing up, and I'm only 39 years old. But how come women don't use it anymore? Did that have to do with the feminist movement? And I know we live in a political correctness society, but I didn't know why the church got away from that as a whole. I know there's still Amish and other groups, minority groups of Christians out there who still practice that. But I didn't know why the mainstream we got away from that. So, those are two questions about the image of God. I just want some clarity.
Sure. And I think what's going on here in terms of sort of the macro overview is that you have a situation where there's a cultural aspect to the commandment that's given. Now, within that cultural aspect, there's an inviolate command. And this has to do in the context of 1 Corinthians 11 with propriety and worship. And in that context then, there's a reference back to Adam and Eve, where we read that God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So in this context, a woman's glory and image are derived from the man. Again, it goes back to the creation narrative. Also, the woman is complementary to the man. And going back to the biblical text that follows Genesis chapter 1, which is Genesis chapter 2, it kind of expands on what's going on in Genesis chapter 1. We see that God created the man to be his authoritative representative on the earth, and God made the woman to be his ordained ally in fulfilling this role. And in this sense, the woman is the glory of man. I remember, by the way, talking to my good friend R.C. Sproul about this years ago. We were walking somewhere, I think in a mall with Vesta, his wife, and R.C. was telling me why Vesta wore a head covering in certain circumstances. Well, later on, as he continued to study the subject, he changed his mind on the subject, which is interesting in that we're all learning together as we grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm learning all the time, and even a great theologian like R.C. Sproul learns new things. And I love the humility with which he always expresses himself in these kinds of circumstances. But my view here, I mean, just bottom line, is that this is a cultural way of expressing propriety and worship. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Tony. He's listening in Texas on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Tony.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, awesome. First, I just wanted to say thank you for all you do. I've been listening to you for a long time, and I really, really appreciate your knowledge and your viewpoint on Scripture. So I wanted to ask about if you knew anything about Shepherd's Chapel and their teaching.
Yeah, I do. That's Arnold Murray. And the problem with Shepherd's Chapel is that he denies the Trinity. He claims that Christ and the Holy Spirit are one and the same. If I think back on all of his aberrant beliefs, he even believes that men were gods who existed prior to living on earth. He teaches this convoluted idea of Anglo-Israelism, which holds that the Anglo-Saxons are the chosen race. And then he teaches a serpent seed doctrine, and that doctrine has permeated many Pentecostal and charismatic confines, and it is a really weird dogma that says that Eve had sex with the snake, and that's where you get the Cainites, or the Kenites, the offspring of Cain. You can go on and on. I mean, this is one error after another. He teaches annihilationism, and then he takes a secondary issue, which I feel very strongly about, by the way, but he says that Christians who believe in the rapture are cultic and do not have God's seal on them. This is taking something that we can debate vigorously, and I think a very important issue, but he's elevating it to the status of an essential. So what he does here is kind of interesting. He takes things which are non-essential, elevates them to the status of essential. On the other hand, he takes essentials and he completely compromises, confuses, or outright contradicts them. I'm going to have to leave it at that. I actually had a senior moment. I forgot the quote of the day. It's in line with what I opened the show with, which has to do with abortion. And the quote of the day comes from French geneticist Jérôme Lejeune, who was bearing testimony to the truth that an individual life begins at conception, as he's given sworn testimony to the United States Senate Subcommittee. But here's the quote. Says Lejeune, "To accept the fact that after fertilization has taken place, a new human being has come into being is no longer a matter of taste or opinion. The human nature of the human being from conception to old age is not a metaphysical contention. It is plain experimental evidence." Powerful quote. We don't have a fully developed personality when we're born, when we're conceived, but we do have full personhood from the moment of conception. And therefore, we should treat preborn children as they ought to be treated. Children created in the image and likeness of God, and to terminate the life of such a child, though preborn, is a horrendous evil. Again, thank you so much for standing shoulder to shoulder with me, the battle for life and truth. We do what we do because life and truth really do matter, not only for time, but also for eternity. Be right back here tomorrow with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. To learn more about Hank or the Christian Research Institute, just go to equip.org. Equip.org is a fountain of information and resources designed to help you defend the faith and grow in your knowledge of the truth. You can also stream the broadcast live or download archived broadcast. To talk with a resource consultant by phone, call 888-7000-CRI, or you can write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Why did the authorities need Judas to identify Jesus? How could the people who cheered Jesus on Palm Sunday call for his death just a few days later? Why was Pontius Pilate trying hard to avoid sending Jesus to his death? Is there evidence outside the Bible that these events actually happened? In the documentary film on DVD, The Week That Changed the World, Professor of Ancient History Paul Meyer offers compelling answers to questions concerning the events of Holy Week that culminated in Christ's death and resurrection. Dr. Meyer lays out the hard, verifiable facts of history and archaeology. Receive your copy of The Week That Changed the World on DVD as our thanks for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org, equip.org. When you need answers about the Bible and the intersection of our faith and culture, you turn to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and the Christian Research Institute. But did you know we're entirely supported by God's provision through friends like you? In appreciation for your gift of ministry support today, we'll send you Hank's book, The Third Day, a convincing case study on the most important truth of Christianity, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Johnny Erickson Tada has said, "Hank leaves no stone unturned, thoroughly portraying the resurrection as our grand hope, the glorious springboard from which we all dive into eternity." Strengthen your defense of the resurrection and increase your confidence in your own eternal future. Call 888-7000-CRI.
or visit equip.org now.